friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm happy to say, as always, it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Man, if I came to you in the other name, it wouldn't do me any good, wouldn't do you any good. But I'll tell you, I come in the name, that name that's above all names, that name that's been given by God, whereby all men can and need to be saved. Look, Jesus tells us, the Word of God teaches us that you can be saved, you need to be saved, and Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19 and 10 tells us. Well, I've opened my Bible to the first book of the New Testament, the book of the Gospel according to Matthew, and I've turned it to chapter 3, and I'm going to share some scripture out of that passage. Boy, I'm excited about the message, excited about what God has led me to, and I trust, friend, if you started this day lost, that you'll end it saved. I trust that you would heed the message that God gave to a man by the name of John Baptist long ago. Friend, listen, I'm going to give you my text even before I begin to preach, even before Debbie sings the song. I'm going to talk to you about a sobering first message. Now, I'm telling you, listen, the message that John the Baptist gave, the message that's recorded here by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, I'm telling you, it's sobering. Do you hear me? It is sobering. So you pray for me. I'm praying for you, praying that God would be glorified, we'd be blessed, you'd be convicted, you'd be converted if you're lost and undone. And if you're saved, you can rejoice and pray for those who are not, so that they might be. Well, Deb's going to talk about in this song, Standing in the Light. That's where I want to be. Don't you enjoy? I'll be back in a moment.
No longer standing in the shadows of night, found rest for my weary soul. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me, now I'm standing in the light of His love. Do you remember when you were born? Just like the rest, I doubt it. Shadows of night. Since Jesus saved me, a new life He gave me. Now I'm standing in the light of His love. In His Word says you must be born again. You must be born from above. So if you gave your heart to Jesus, you're no longer standing in the shadows of night.
I like that, friend. I'll tell you, you're either in the darkness or in the light. That's all it is. Look, those of us that are saved, we're not children of the night. We're children of the day and how true that is. As I told you, I've opened my Bible, the book of Matthew. I'm excited. I'm telling you, I'm excited about the message out of the book of Matthew chapter 3. And I'm talking about the title of the message is A Sobering First Message. What we have here in the first, let me look at it. First 12 verses of the book of Matthew. And I'm not going to read, listen, I'm not going to read all of them. I will as I make my way down through the message. At least that's what I hope and plan to do. But I will read a text verse out of that. Maybe two verses as a text verse out of this. But I want you to know we're looking at John Baptist. We're looking at John the Baptist's first message. A man, listen, man who came out of the wilderness, preaching. If I were going to do a tent revival, if anybody was going to do a tent revival, we wouldn't go to the wilderness to do it. We'd find us a place in a city somewhere near a town or an area that's populated and put up a tent and say, hey, listen, why don't you come? But boy, John was so magnetic in his in his ministry and the message that he had, in the man that he was, the power that he preached in, the proclamation that he made, that men came to him. Now look, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to what the Word of God says. John said this in verse 11 and following. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And look at the next word, and with fire. I'll say more about that when I get to it, but I want you to know that fire isn't talking about Pentecost. Now, talking about the second chapter of the book of Acts, by the grace of God, we've got to see that. Listen, now he's talking about two different baptisms. He's talking about two different baptisms. One the first time when he comes, one the second time when he comes again. The Bible goes on to say, whose fan is in his hand, he would thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he would burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Listen, I'm talking to you a little while today. Just a little while. Simple message by a simple preacher. Out of profound, out of a grand word. Out of the Word of God that's profound and grand. Listen, friend, I'm going to talk to you again. Give you my text. Not because I've forgotten and not because I don't have anything else to say. I want you to get it. It's a sobering first message. I want you to think, boy, look. If men today would mount the pulpit, look at some people in the congregations and dare to do what John did, call them generations of vipers. Oh, I'm telling you, he wouldn't last very long as a pastor. Wouldn't have too many doors open up to him to preach. Listen to the Word of God. Listen now, look at the prophet. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girding about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Boy, you're talking about a man's man. John was. He came in the spirit of Elijah. I believe, in fact, Jesus said this was Elijah, which was for to come. Now, I could say more about the fulfilling of that prophecy that Malachi gave, that before the day of the Lord, that Elijah would come. But here was John the Baptist. He was a cousin of Jesus. He was a product of a blessing of Almighty God to a priest by the name of Zacharias and his wife by the name of Elizabeth. When they were old and past the years of being able to bear, God sent them a son who would be a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, fulfilling. We'll find out in just a minute or two a prophecy that Isaiah had given long before. But I want you to think about this prophet. He was a man. He was a man, listen, sent by God. He was a man prepared by God. He was a man that proclaimed the message that God had given him. Boy, I'll tell you what, he prepared a long time to preach a little while. I've often wondered why John the Baptist was taken so quickly off the scene. I mean to tell you, I don't know how long he preached. Have no idea how long he preached, but I'll tell you, listen, I like this. He preached such a message. He had such a great outline. He had such a great presentation that when he died, when Jesus heard that he died, he began to pick up and use John the Baptist's outlined. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the same thing John did. Ah, thank God. I'll tell you, listen, any messenger for Jesus ought to be able to preach just like Jesus preached. But here Jesus was preaching just like his messenger preached. I think that's wonderful. I think there's something as deep in that and as wide. But I want you to know, look, John didn't look like any other holy man. He was the last of the Old Testament prophet. He was greatest of any man that's ever been born. And yet in the kingdom of heaven, he's least than the least that's in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Oh, John was quite a man. He was a prophet. He was a prophet proclaiming of the Messiah, proclaiming that the King of the kingdom was at hand. And all that nation out of which Jesus was born, they should have recognized him and embraced him. And had they done that, all some marvelous things would have taken place. But let's look at the prophecy in verses 2 and 3. And when John came, Now listen, this was the prophecy that was given about him. He came preaching, and listen what he preached. Repent, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is that which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his past tray. Hey, this is what Isaiah wrote about him in chapter 40. He said, look, there's going to be a forerunner. There's going to be somebody comes, precedes. I'm the Messiah, the coming of that anointed one, the coming of that promised one. Hey, Eve, you remember what God said to you after you and Adam sinned? God's going to send the Savior, but he's got a messenger there to go before him. Every king generally in those days had somebody that came before, sounded the trumpet, gave a message, said, the king's coming. Hey, that's what John did. And oh, what a message he had. Listen, for 400 years, heaven had been silent. When Malachi turned off the station lights 400 years before, locked the door, and went home, nothing had been aired from heaven. There'd been no prophecy. There'd been no written word. Listen, you're talking about a dark time spiritually. And then all of a sudden, a man by the name of John Baptist, that looked like a resurrected Elijah, came out of the wilderness, had some strange garments on, but he had a message, hallelujah, that had come from heaven. I've got good news. I've got good news. Get ready. Get ready. The king is coming. How do you get ready? They said, John. John said, repent. John said, listen, repent and bring forth, listen, fruit of that repentance. Give forth evidence of your repentance, and that evidence, it will be the baptism that I baptize you. Look, it was a baptism unto repentance. He was saying this water that you're buried in, this water that you're identifying with, it'll work until Jesus comes. I'll tell you, it didn't bring salvation, but this is what it did. How blessed God, it would leave a testimony that they were looking for the Savior and going to submit to Him in anticipation of the salvation that He brought. Thank God. Listen, man, John, I'm telling you, watch the truth. He was taking the sword of the Word of God, cutting the hearts and the spirit of the children of Israel. I'm telling you, John was saying, repent, repent. You need to have a change of mind. Need to have a change of heart. Need to have a change of lifestyle. Look, Fred, bless God, it's still repent or perish in this day. I know there's some preachers that won't preach repentance. I've even read after some good men that I really highly acclaim that say, repentance is for the church. Well, I'll tell you what it is. I believe it's for the church too. I read that over the five of the seven churches that Jesus addressed in the Revelation. But I'll tell you, friend, I believe if you want to get to heaven, bless God, you got to repent of your sin, receive Christ by faith. And if you do that, bless God, you set forth fruit meat for repentance. In other words, John was saying, hey, give fruit, listen, manifest something in your life that there has been a change made. Because, sir, ma'am, if you go down at an altar and you say you receive Christ there as your Savior, and you get up from that altar, the same old person that you've been, hey, the same old lifestyle that you had, the same old sins that you continue to sin, hey, you're still in need of a Savior. Something when you meet Jesus happens to you. And John Baptist, bless God, wasn't pulling any punches. He said, I want to tell you something. You say that repent. Listen, bless God, you say that you repent. Well, prove it. That's what John was saying, prove it. Bless God, listen, if Jesus is in us, He'll come out of us. Our works don't save us, but if we are saved, bless God, there will be works that manifest it. Can I tell you something? Can I ask you a question before I tell you something? What determines a tree? What determines what kind of tree is a tree? You know what? It's not the fruit. Hey, the fruit does not determine what type of tree it is. The root determines what type of tree a tree is, and the fruit of it just declares it and manifests it. Well, I'm telling you, if Christ is in you, and there'll be some Christ-likeness come out of you, and there'll be some holiness. Bless God, there'll be some separation from the world. You'll know you're a new creature. You'll hate old things. You'll love new things. I'm telling you, friend, John was taking the sword of the Spirit, the axe that he used, and he was laying it right down the root of the tree. Have a look in verses 5, 6, and 7, the beginning of verse 7. Look at the people he was addressing. They went out to him at Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sin. Boy, we don't hear a lot of that now, do we? Confessing their sin. You know why? People don't confess their sin because they don't believe they're a sinner. The Bible said, of all sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said, there's none righteous. No, I'm not one. The Bible said, they've all gone astray. I'm telling you, friend, listen. We're a sinner. We're a sinner from the womb. Do you know that? We're a sinner from conception, actually. And I'll tell you, we'd all be better off if we'd go to God and confess that we're a sinner. And John said, listen, Matthew said they came to John confessing their sin. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come into the baptism, he said unto them, O ye generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come. Look, I just want to emphasize the fact that all people of all states and status came to hear the message of John and to submit to the message that John preached. They weren't submitting to John, but they were submitting to the message of heaven that God had given John to preach and declare that they need to repent. They need to repent and show forth evidence that they had in their baptism. I'm telling you, friend, listen, when you get saved, bless God, something changes. It'll manifest itself in how you speak, how you dress, where you go, what you do, what you desire, what you want. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, there's been a change when you get saved. But the people were stirred up. Listen now, the publicans and the sinners came. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came. But they came for the wrong reason. And look at what John was preaching in the last part of verse 7, it's this. Again, O you generation of vipers. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're reading a book on how to make friends, bless God, you won't find that in there. But John wasn't looking to make friends. He was looking to make converts. He was looking to get people prepared for the coming of Christ. He was looking to be biblically correct, theologically correct, Godwardly correct. He wouldn't worry about the political setting in that day, and it was tough. He wasn't worried about being politically correct. He wasn't worried about geopolitics. He was wanting to be right with God. He was wanting to preach the truth. He didn't want to lie to people. He knew their souls was at stake. He knew their eternity was before them. And all he wanted to do, the work that God had called him to do. And he said, bring forth fruit meats for repentance. Isn't that amazing? My, what a message. What a message he preached. And he goes on to say, and think not to say within yourself, "Where Abraham was our father, for I say unto you that God is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid in the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And he goes on to say what I've read, "And he baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Hey, I'm telling you, listen, John said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said, "Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" I think he knew the heart of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And I don't have time to tell you much about them, but I'll tell you what, they were as religious as they could be, one more than the other. But I'll tell you what, John knew what they needed. John knew what they needed that they wouldn't confess that they did. They needed a conversion. They needed to repent of their sin. They needed to anticipate the coming of the Savior, their Messiah. They were out of Israel. They were part of Abraham's seed. They were hiding behind that. They thought they had it made. They thought the judgment that God had espoused and talked about in the Old Testament would come upon the Jew or the Gentile, but never the Jew, because they thought, because they were of the seed of Abraham, they had it made. Because they had a physical birth, they had it made. They were learning quickly that they needed a spiritual birth. And Jesus said, "Listen, fellas, you think you're hiding behind the fact that you got the blood of Abraham in you? Hey, I got news for you. God's able to raise up children from these stones to Abraham. Hey, friend, if you've only had one birth, you're in trouble. You need a second birth." According to what Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. And I want you to look, friend, I want you to look. They were in a quandary there, were they not? They were in a quandary. They thought because they were Jews by natural birth that they had it made. They had it made with God. That they had it made with God. But I want you to look at what the promise was. And that's the text passage. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." Listen, no water ever resulted in salvation. No dip in a water ever produced anything but changing somebody from dry to wet. But it is a testimony. Bless God, it is a fruit of salvation. Notice the word "unto." He didn't say it produces salvation, but he said it'll do until the one that comes to bring salvation. Do this in anticipation. Get right. Listen, say, bring forth something that manifests. You're waiting for the Messiah. You're longing for the Messiah. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you," now watch this, "with the Holy Ghost and fire." Notice that word "and." Listen, when he came the first time, came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came the first time as a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, headed from a manger to an old rugged cross, to an empty tomb, and then eventually, bless God, into the throne room of heaven. He came the first time to die. Came not to condemn, but that men through him might be saved. But oh, when he comes back the next time, he'll come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. He came the first time, listen, to save. He came the first time to bring people into some new body, and that's His body, known as the church, the body of Christ. He does that through the baptism of the Spirit. How about one Spirit? Are y'all baptized in the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. Listen, friend, that didn't happen. Listen, that fire baptism, it's going to happen in judgment, in a day that's yet to come, in a day that's already on God's calendar, in a day that God's already got it marked, it's going to come. And when He come the first time, listen, He sent the Spirit, baptized believers into His body by the Spirit of God. And on the day of Pentecost, listen, when the Spirit came, it came as cloven tongues of fire. They heard it as a mighty rushing wind. Hey, friend, I want you to know how when He comes the next time. And this is a sobering thought. This is a sobering thought, friend. What a message John prays. He's going to come with fire. He's going to come with vengeance. He's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to come riding on a white stallion. He's going to come, friend, listen, with the sword of the Spirit going out of His mouth. He's going to come, bless God, as a conqueror, not as a Savior. He came the first time to save. He'll come the next time to judge, to rule and to reign, and to put down all that's not righteous, to put down all that deny, to put down all that rebel. I don't know about you, but John's got me stirred up. Thank God, listen, do you know Christ as your Savior? You can meet Him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, or you can come to meet Him as the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. You can come to know His mercy, His grace, His love, His forgiveness, His sweetness, or you can find out about His wrath. You can find out about His judgment. You can find out about His righteousness. You can find out about His justice. Look, all you got to do today to meet Him as the Savior is repent of your sin. John said, hey, this is a message of warning. Comes from heaven. I want you sinners to get it. Hey, friend, repent today, would you? By faith, receive Christ as your Savior. And if you'll call on Him, the Bible tells us with no uncertain terms that He'll answer you. He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Go to Him today. Do it hurriedly. Do it now.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.